This is Hey Beautiful, the podcast where we binge and recap every episode of How I Met Your Mother. No spoilers. So suit up, grab a sandwich, and settle in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hey Beautiful. Today, we have a very special guest host, the co-star of the Liz and Kate YouTube channel. It's my wife, Liz.
Hey, friends.
You haven't been on in a while.
Honestly, a very long time. It's over a year, I think.
Yeah, probably season four. Yeah, because we're just about halfway through season five, and we haven't heard your beautiful little voice yet. So welcome.
Wild.
But, you know, summer's crazy.
Yeah.
Things happen, and we, you know, you might hear some guest hosts over the next few weeks as we're taking vacations and whatnot. In the meantime, if you haven't already, folks, Liz and I, like I said, we have a YouTube channel now, and you can find us at youtube.com/C/Liz and Kate, and Liz has two Z's.
Two Z's.
So we're going to try to have a baby this year.
That is true.
And we're also doing videos about our garden and our animals.
Yep.
And other fun things. We just taped one this week about a reoccurring fight that we have.
Yeah.
Well, a debate, I would say.
Debates. The debates we have.
Yeah.
So we started a series about that.
Friday. That'd be fun. Friday night fights.
Yep.
So, yeah, we hope you guys will check us out because you can get even more of us between episodes. Some more good news. We're still charting on Apple Podcasts. So thank you, everybody. It looks like we actually moved up a couple.
Very nice.
So that's amazing, and I really appreciate it. So please keep leaving us reviews on Apple Podcasts and sharing us with your buddies because it's working, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Also, we have a live stream coming up this Monday at 1:15 p.m. Eastern time. I think it's the 26th, July 26th. And Caitlin and I will be together for that, doing that. And we have a fun activity planned, so.
Ooh, I can't wait to see what it is.
Yes! You still have time to become a Patreon pal and get access to our secret Instagram account.
Ooh.
Our Finsta, if you will.
Ooh, the Finsta.
Which is where we do all of our live streams. So go on over to patreon.com/heybeautifulpod. Sign up for as little as $2 a month.
$2, that's nothing. That's worth it.
That's less than a coffee.
Oh, that's worth it. That's less than one coffee.
And you get a free live stream every month with us and other awesome content. And next time, we'll be talking about Last Cigarette Ever, which is a great episode. So make sure you send in your legendary moments for it if you're thinking of one now.
You gotta get them in.
Gotta get them in. But for today, we're talking about the window.
The window.
The window. You ready to get into it?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it. This episode of Hey Beautiful is brought to you by our Patreon Almighty Five level members, Arjun, Adam, Russell, Tish, Johnny, and Ben. And thanks to all of our patrons for your continued support of our show. Our Patreon works on a sliding scale. You give what you can each month and you'll receive all the perks we offer. Join for as little as $2 a month at patreon.com/heybeautifulpod. Summer is a great time for cookies.
Every time.
It's a great time.
Any time of year is the perfect time for cookies. I love cookies.
Me too. We would love if you went over to rachelscookiesandtreats.com and checked out their amazing array of cookies made with all real ingredients, no preservatives, all made in small batches, handmade at this family-owned and operated woman-run business. That's rachelscookiesandtreats.com. And the best news of all is you can use our code and get 25% off your order.
Oh my gosh, that's such a deal.
Right? That is such a generous deal. So the promo code is HBFAM, that's HBFAM, all caps. You'll get 25% off any order because you can use that code over and over again.
Ooh.
And they'll ship anywhere in the U.S. So get on over there, rachelscookiesandtreats.com. So before we get into the episode, Liz has been fighting an uphill battle against snakes in our yard this year. And by fighting the battle, I've been fighting the battle.
I sound the alarm.
Yeah, which is her screaming bloody murder from the yard. Yeah. And then I come out with these these grabber things.
Yep. Snake grabber.
Snake grabber. And I throw them across the street. They're all, they all live.
And it's, they all come back.
Very humane. But then they find their way back.
They love
our garage.
Our garage. Yeah, it sucks.
So
tonight I left the garage doors open thinking maybe it would help them get out. No.
They don't need help getting out.
But like maybe like the light of day will make them think, maybe I shouldn't hang out in here. No.
I don't know why
they're really enjoying that garage. Would be a thing, but it really sucks.
Yeah, so there's one just like balls out.
See it from the window, just moseying through my garage.
Do you want me to get it?
No.
Okay.
I want it to get bent.
Yeah, but it's not gonna get bent. Okay, anyway. This is season 5, episode 10, The Window. It first aired on December 7th, 2009. It was written by Joe Kelly and our director, as always, the amazing Pam Fryman.
Pam Fryman, the one and only.
Yeah. So we open with Marshall getting another big box from home. Apparently, since he and Lily moved in together on their own and bought their own place, his mom has been sending all kinds of stuff to them. We definitely have that happen when we go home.
Yeah, if you've ever had a permanent, a permanent move out of your parents' house, you know that stuff's coming. I mean, I still have stuff in my childhood bedroom. My mom's like, can you take it this trip?
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, we're full.
I know, because we drive to Michigan every year.
It's not like it's next door. It's a quick 15-hour trip.
And I'm always like, I wonder what's going to come home with this. One year it was a table and chairs.
Yep. Chairs one year, that table. Other end tables one time.
Oh, the plant end tables. We got a couple plants. My mom, it's always like buckets of books because that's what's at my house. She's like, go through these or I'm going to throw them all out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a thing. Parents just want to purge you of their, from their space, which I totally get. So he thinks it's not going to be anything useful, but he finds this Mad Libs book and it gives him and Robin a good chuckle about fart went to the fart to fart fartly.
Of course,
which is,
his Mad Lib would say that. I mean, honestly, surprised at all that Marshall's was just fart after fart.
Yeah. So then this old lady calls Ted, someone we've never seen before, and all she says is the window is open, and we have no idea what that means, but Marshall knows. And so does Lily, because he sees Lily on the street as he's running somewhere. And she, like, clears a path for him. So Marshall and Lily know that whatever this is, it's big news. And the city's, like, decorated Christmassy, and there's kind of, like, a Home Alone music happening. So this is kind of a Christmas episode. And then we see Maggie, this very cute redhead, who, it's kind of similar to Robin and Purple Giraffe, the first season when Ted ran to like randomly show up where she was. Like she'd be shopping at a neighbor or she was like doing a news report from this little bodega downtown and he like ran and then showed up just trying to look cool. Like he just happened to be there. So then we finally know what it's about. It's about Maggie. She just broke up with her boyfriend. So that's the window. We do find out that the window has only been open for like three very brief moments of time since Ted met her in college.
Not enough time for a snake to get through it, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
Have you ever had somebody that you just kept, like, missing each other, like you weren't single at the right times?
No. No, not that I can recall.
I don't think I have either. Maybe it's easier for straight people.
I mean, I have a friend who had that scenario for a long time, and she wanted to invite her to the wedding, and her fiancé wouldn't let her invite her.
Shit. But then she did invite her.
And she didn't come.
And then she didn't come. Yeah. That window's closed.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they had been together. They weren't together ever. It was like an on again, off again.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think, no, maybe it is mutual between Maggie and Ted. Because I can think of people that I liked, but we weren't single at the same time. But even if we had been, I wouldn't have done anything. Because I wouldn't have been like, yeah, you like me too. You know me, I'm not very confident when it comes to that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have done what Ted did.
Yeah, but the other person may have.
That's true.
Right?
Who knows? Who freaking knows? So they all went to college together, and she's just never single, which to me says she needs a fucking break.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, this bitch needs a break.
Like, to me, she's
a year off, no guys. You know him.
You
right.
know him, right? It's to me, that's kind of a red flag that she's never been single for more than a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that when you're 30, right? They're like 30-ish in this episode. I don't think it would have been a red flag for me at 30. yet. I don't think it would have been a red flag for me until...
now?
Well, no. Like, 32. Like, it would have taken me a couple more years.
Yeah. That's true. I know. I mean, I was very often always in a relationship, too. And so I think when I first watched this, I just saw it as, oh, Maggie's... You know, guys love Maggie, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, Maggie needs a break.
Yeah.
And Maggie needs some notion.
Maggie needs to sort that out. Yeah. Picking up the freaking mailman, the 1 hour.
I know. Single. Serial monogamist.
Yeah.
So the old lady that called Ted was Maggie's neighbor. And so that final time with the mailman, Ted had basically asked her to call him if she became single again. So she's just been watching for this for 4 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah.
And it finally happened. And he even made sure that she got into a cab with a female driver. And he was just being very, very careful about the chain of custody. Is that what police call it?
Yes, the chain of custody. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Barney's feeling good. Says tonight's going to be good.
Barney's feeling Barney.
Barney's feeling Barney. He sees the overalls that Marshall has inexplicably brought to the bar.
Yeah,
he
why
brought,
is that box of things there?
He brought the whole box to the bar.
Suspension of disbelief. Guys, this
I know,
one.
I know.
Stretch. It's a stretch.
It's like, oh, here's the box with all my shit in it. So he sees the overalls and he starts making fun of Marshall and then basically falls into a self challenge, which he loves.
Immediately.
Literally nobody challenged him to put on the overalls until...
Nobody challenges him to do anything.
Right. So he decides he cannot take off the overalls until he gets laid. And he is a man of his word. He sure is.
Sticks to the bet. The original bet.
Yeah. So on top of all the excitement, and maybe because of all the excitement, Ted has forgotten that he has to teach a class tonight.
I would have absolutely just skipped it.
I know, right? Just the, fucking kids.
The
it.
Students know the 15-minute rule. They know it. They don't even wait 15 minutes. They wait like 10.
Yeah, 10 tops.
Yeah.
Tops.
They would have been fine.
Yeah. I definitely would have skipped it. But
he
clearly loves teaching, and the students love him, you know, so I can see why he wanted to be there. And so when Maggie shows up, Ted gives Marshall and Lily basically the mission of keeping her single until he gets back. And so he runs off to class, and Lily runs off to abuse his open tab. Right?
Yeah.
So Marshall and Lily are doing everything they can, even escorting her to the bathroom and making sure
they're like weird as shit about it.
Yeah, they're like in front of and behind her anytime they walk anywhere. And then we cut over, and we see Barney trying to score in the overalls, but Robin has decided she has her own challenge, which is to basically cock block him the entire night.
Yeah, making fun of him being a farmer.
And she is so funny in this episode.
I agree.
He's telling you what he feeds. He's not saying, hey. He's telling you what he feeds his horsies. And then when he's like, want me to buy you a drink? She says, he's got a big brown jug with three X's on it.
I know. I think that was my favorite line for sure.
It was so
cute. You can just like picture it. Like,
she's so silly this episode, and I love it. I love when they let her be silly.
Me too.
Ted gets the class. He tries to jam out of there really fast, but they all want to. They all want
students.
His
hour
with him, right?
They just want the full class every time.
Right, every time, and eventually. He gets into his lesson, but he's still just thinking about Maggie so much, he writes her name on the board and has to come up with...
It's always awkward.
...a new acronym for architecture, which is make adjustments, go get it energized. It
Boom.
Means absolutely nothing.
Boom.
And so a little meddling redhead in class, much like Lily, but her name is Betty, sees the issue.
She looks a lot like... What's her name?
Who?
Maggie. She looks a lot like Maggie.
Oh, yeah, there's three redheads in this episode. Redheads are good in the Himmium universe. Blondes are bad. That's what we've learned so far. And browns are Ted's favorite. Browns, brunettes. So, so she's like, what's going on here? I sense that, you know, something's going on. Who's Maggie? What is this, right? And so, of course, the lecture switches to basically a group therapy session for Ted with all the students still politely raising their hand. To ask questions about his personal life, which is great. We had to stop for a second to look up and see if Jamie is the guy from Peaky Blinders. He is not.
He looks like him, but, like, young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does. He has, like, the pouty mouth and the light eyes.
But, like, the stout jaw also. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, sunken cheeks.
Yeah, he does look like him a lot. Yeah. I was like, is it? No way. Because I think by then that the Peaky Blinders guy was doing, like, pretty, like, big more stuff, serious stuff. Yeah, yeah, like, he was on SVU, I think. So, yeah, so Betty asked the important question of, are you ready, Ted, for a serious relationship? Just because she's available, are you ready for it? And, you know, that's probably not something that he had thought about.
It's also not some bullshit Ted wants to deal with.
Right.
Mind your business. He's kind too, of,
he's
you know?
Too impulsive for that.
Yeah.
So
waiting years.
Yeah, just shut up, Betty.
I'm ready anytime she's ready.
Right, right.
Any 1 hour that she's single.
Jeez Louise. Back at the bar, Marshall has found a letter from his high school self. Did you ever have to do this? Write to your future self?
I mean, even if I did, like, I wouldn't have saved it.
We did, and then, like, our teacher mailed it.
That's a committed teacher.
15 years later
teachers
or whatever.
Not like that anymore.
I didn't read mine. My mom was like, oh my God, this came in. I was like, I do not want to read that.
I'm sure you didn't.
I am sure it is humiliating. I was with a fucking piece of shit garbage person. And I'm sure I was like, I hope you're still with her. She's so great. Like, I do not want to read it. And I don't want to know how badly I've let my young self down. But also because I was like, I was a late bloomer personality-wise. Like, I didn't know who the hell I was in high school.
Yeah,
maybe. I think that's a thing for gay people, you know? Like, figuring out who the F you are. So whatever it said in there, it was like a different person. And so I think Marshall's been the same person his whole life, so this, like, really hit him deep that his younger self is like, you're a fucking sellout. But, like, I wouldn't care if myself said that. It's like, I have bills to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Welcome to the free-range tax farm they call America. God.
Yeah, and I don't even know what I would have said I wanted to do at that point, because it just wasn't. I just was a different person. And, yeah. So, we get this adorable flashback of Marshall writing the letter in high school. He's got the rat tail. He's got the acid wash overalls, the braces. Very 90s bedroom. And he describes the woman who he thinks he should be married to. Turns out, looks just like his mom. Except his mom is also a redhead, not blonde, but that's fine. All of his brothers married tall blondes. Mm. So the part that really upsets Marshall is that we know that even as a kid, Marshall wanted to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, you better be saving the world. You better not be some corporate sellout. Meanwhile, Marshall is working at, like, the devil bank of the world, GNB. And he gave up on the environmental stuff, at least for the time being, because they needed money really bad. Thanks to Lily's spending issues and also them impulsively buying a terrible apartment. So, and the other little bit that comes into play later is that his younger self hopes that he can still dunk. Vanilla Thunder, of course. Did she scare you?
Yeah.
Puppy,
her little
here.
Nose, like, just touched the back of my arm.
Oh, come on.
What is that? Hello.
Clementine's popping in to say hi. And, of course, Licky Boom Boom Down is a line from Informer by Snow, the white reggae rapper.
Who knows?
From Canada. It was a lot. In the 90s, we gave a lot of people room. Anyway, so Marshall's really depressed and he storms out. He says he needs to do something at work and it won't take long. And Lily reads the letter and she's terrified that he's going to quit because, you know, it says all the stuff about, like, throwing yourself off a fucking cliff if you're...
Yeah, if you're a sellout, basically.
Yeah. And so she storms out, which leaves Maggie vulnerable. But luckily...
The chain of command is broken.
You stop it. But luckily, Robin is there, and she's very confident she can handle it because Maggie might be the kind of magnet that picks up pictures and puts them on the fridge, but Robin's the kind of magnet in a junkyard that picks up cars, which I love. She's so fucking confident. I love it, but she already feels a little bit thwarted when Jim comes in, this guy from work that works with Maggie. He slips in, and she can't even get his attention. So the magnet is not working. Meanwhile, over at the university, all the kids have moved much closer to Ted, and they're sitting in this tight little semicircle around him.
Yeah.
And we've got a photo of Maggie up on the projector.
Getting all the goss.
And Ted is just, like, cross-legged on his desk, just spilling his guts.
Just wasting time, just Teddy. Wasting
time. He says he is scared. He thought he was ready last year for the real thing, and then he got left at the altar. So, yeah, that'll shake you up.
Yeah.
That'll make you wonder for a while if your instincts are right.
Yeah.
You know,
I cannot imagine that.
That really messed with me, I know. Like, thinking, not getting left at the altar, but
you
being...
You didn't get left at the altar.
I got left in a marriage, yeah. though, you yeah. know? So it's like, it makes you feel like nothing, like, you just can't tell what's good and what's bad for mm-hmm. you. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, God, what if I get stuck in something like that again?
Mm-hmm.
But Betty has a great point, and she says, doesn't being scared let you know you're on to something important? And this is one of Ted's most famous lines, where he says, if you're scared, it means you're taking a chance, and if you're not taking a chance, then what the hell are you doing?
Hmm.
So, true story. And with that, Amen. He gets excited and heads off to get her. Meanwhile, Robin is trying so hard. She has managed to extricate Jim from the bar by jumping in to steal a ticket he was trying to give Maggie. So they're at this erotic dog photography exhibit, and she is just acting a fucking fool, pouring wine on herself, trying to
keep that attention.
Yeah, trying to get the attention, and she's just managing to get the attention of the busboy, who's mm-hmm. just like,
I'm here to help.
Yeah, he can't wait to get home, if you know what I mean. So now this means Robin is at the museum. The only friend left at the bar is the worst friend for the job, Barney.
Yeah.
And at first he promises, he's like, listen, yeah, maybe I slept with Robin and that wasn't cool. And then I dated her for a while. So we, you know, our history isn't perfect on this, but don't worry. Like, I got you. Just, like, get here.
Mm-hmm,
it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then Maggie compliments his overalls. Ooh. And he's like, you got 10 minutes.
Because
he wants to win this challenge that he's set for himself, of course. Jim can't leave the exhibit fast enough when he finds out that Maggie's actually single. He didn't even know she was single, and he was honing in on her like that. And
that prolonged eye contact.
Yeah. So then we have Jim and Ted both running to the bar from different areas. We hear Ted yell out, I hate Barney Stinson! And some random woman in the city just yells, me too! Which is great. And then over at G&B, Lily realizes he's not there to quit. Marshall's not there to quit. He's there to try to dunk. And she's right. Marshall just wanted to be able to do, like, one thing on the list
mm-hmm.
in order to prove that he wasn't a total disappointment to his 15-year-old self.
Yeah.
Well, he can't dunk either. Sadly.
I mean, I'd be shocked if he could dunk when he was 15, honestly.
I know.
He's not built for that.
I know. He's just like a big, tall, stand-under-the-rim kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Not much of the ups persuasion. Yeah. But he is pretty tall, I guess. But it turns out he hurt his leg so bad he can't even fall down. So he's just standing there. And, you know, Lily is such a good wife here. And, you know, she says, you can't dunk, but you've achieved so much more than that little dweeb ever thought you would or could have even imagined. Because when you're, like, a teenager, your life is such tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. She's like, this great stuff you've done, like, you're a great husband and, you know, you have an awesome job and all this stuff. She, like, brings the hoop down a level, which is really sweet. And he tries again. Feeling inspired, still whiffs it and falls down. But it's clear that he's feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the bar, Barney, Ted, and Jim are all fighting over Maggie. Jim's been in love with her for 5 years. Ted's been in love with her for 12. And Barney's been in the overalls for an hour and a half. And so they're all just trying to get in there. But Robin sent Maggie home. Because Robin knows what we know, which is Maggie needs a fucking break.
Yeah. Yep.
She's like, you guys are being ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they all end up running out and running after her anyway, after Ted gives, like, a phony speech to try and buy himself some time. And they all get there, and Maggie opens the door just like she has so many times before, and there's a guy. And at first you're just like, ugh, another one. It's another mm-hmm. random guy that she met, right? Mm-hmm. But it turns out this is the guy. This is her guy that got away.
Yep.
You know, this is her guy that she's been waiting for her whole life to come back around. And we see the flashback of, you know, their whole childhood together. Like, mm-hmm. And you hear the voice of future Ted saying the second greatest love story.
Yeah.
Because we know who the first greatest love story is.
It's ours.
It's ours. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Totally.
And then we see Adam in his overalls, and that's, you know, why Maggie loved Barney in his overalls. But apparently he moved away, and she's still wearing the necklace he gave her, and he's now moved to New York, and the window closes forever. They found each other.
Forever. Yeah.
Very, very sweet. And so they get back out. Barney and Ted get back out on the sidewalk, and Barney's ready to go to Giddy Ups, which we know from the episode about the Woo Girls. He's like, these overalls will do business at Giddy Ups. And up until this point, since Stella left him, Ted's been pretty much game for all of Barney's mm-hmm. silly hijinks. He hasn't been trying to do anything serious with anybody. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of been, you know, dating and being silly and going through the motions.
Yeah.
But now he's like, I don't want Giddy Ups. I want what they have. I forgot what it's like to chase the real thing. And so now he's kind of like back on track in that sense.
Back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle.
By staying away from Giddy Ups.
Hey-o! Good one, Mama. And Barney's just like, okay, well, let me tell you where I'm at. I want to have sex with a girl so I can take my overalls off. And just like that, the night rewards Barney as well, because the old lady neighbor also loves his overalls. And so he's able to get his overalls off. And we know Barney likes an older woman. He's talked about Madeline Albright. Yeah. The first woman he slept with was his mom's friend. Yeah. So he acts like he's grossed out by it, but he's not. Barney loves an older lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after the final cut there, we see 30-year-old Marshall writing to 60-year-old Marshall and being a lot more chill about it than 15-year-old Marshall was.
Because everything's a lot more chill when you're 30.
He understands the world, and he's like, hey, no pressure if you're not trying to do something to save the world, but I hope you are. Mm-hmm. And what he really wants is a sign that time travel is possible. And so right as he's writing that, Lily comes over with hot wings that got sent back. And of course, modern day Marshall takes it as a sign that you know, older Marshall has sent them from the future. Mm-hmm. And
with peace and love.
With peace and love. And then the whole time you can see like old Marshall in the background. Mm-hmm. And so it's up to us to decide, is time travel real? Or is this all Marshall's rich imagination? But the sweetest thing is he said, as long as you're still married to Lily, you're doing just fine.
Amen.
And that's the window.
Nice.
What'd you think of it?
Good. It was a good episode. It's always good.
Yeah. It was fine. I mean, it's not a favorite. It's not a least favorite, that's for sure. I like Maggie a lot. I think she's a good character, and I wish she was in it for more, but I also,
I think it's a good portrayal of a situation that some people find themselves in. Like, a reasonable amount of people find themselves in, right?
Yeah.
The one that got away, or, like, the one that you're always just missing.
That you think is the one that got away, right? And then it's like, oh, well, she's not the, you know, the side character in my story. She's the main character in her own story. And that was playing out before I even showed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, let's get into the legendary moments from our friends. Remember, you can send yours for the next episode to heybeautifulpodcast@gmail.com. So first up is Jen, and Jen says, first off, thank you for all the work that you two lovely ladies put into the podcast. It is a labor of love, and we can tell when all of us listen to the pod. Oh, that's so nice. I found the pod when I was moving from Michigan. Hey, Michigan!
Hey, y'all.
Back to New Hampshire. You two have been in my ears for not one but two moves, and it helps me feel comforted when I am stressed. It's like when you watch the show and feel comfort like a warm, fuzzy blanket. Oh, Jen, that's so sweet. Also, I don't like Zoo or False either. Well, yeah, you're smart, because it's trash. I can't wait to hear all Kate has to say about that episode. My legendary moment for this episode is when Marshall opens his package from home and reads the Mad Libs. It reminds me of all the Mad Libs that I would do with my campers at camp. Have a great night, and thanks for all the hard work, Jen. Thank you, Jen. Yeah, my mom used to mail us Mad Libs to do at camp, and we would do those. And obviously, fart played a huge role in those. Okay, next up is Jeff, and Jeff says, hey, K and K, I hope you're both doing well. This episode is not a bad episode, but it's not a particular favorite of mine. Same. It is another example, though, of Ted being a character in someone else's story for a change. Hey, I said that! My legmo would have to be Ted yelling, I hate Barney Stinson, while running down the street, and a random woman yelling back, me too. Totally cracked up, me and my wife, upon this rewatch. Best, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Next up is Adam, and Adam says, this is an okay episode, so I have some issues with this episode because we are introduced to the character Maggie. First off, we've, as an audience, never met... And second, Ted's perfect woman, which I don't believe in an instant. Ted loves the idea of Maggie, not the actual person. Yeah, that's very, very Ted.
Very Ted.
So supposedly Ted has been in love with Maggie for 12 years, which I don't buy. The best part and my legendary moment is when Robin spills the wine on her shirt and Robin is like, oh no. I laugh every time, but other than that, I don't care for this episode. That's fair. Also, my playbook plays are Don't Drink That, The Naked Man, and my pièce de résistance, The Robin, but I call it The Tristan because it got me my wife. Your friend, Adam. Oh, thank you, Adam. That was very sweet. Next up is Tish, and Tish says, hey, beautiful ladies. Honestly, this episode isn't my favorite. We've got a running theme here. My legendary moment probably has to go to when Robin told the guys to leave Maggie alone. She wasn't their property. Amen. And they really never really made a connection with her or even asked her out. I felt like this episode didn't really serve a purpose other than Marshall's storyline. Regards, Tish. Yeah, I think that that's true. I think it was also like a catalyst for Ted to stop fucking around. And as far as Marshall goes, like, we already know that he's feeling this way. So it's kind of, it's not repetitive, but it's reminding us that Marshall is... wants to do something more with his life. And so maybe this is a catalyst for Marshall too. All right. Next up is Helena. And Helena says, hey ladies, this is an okay episode. Yeah. Everyone's saying the same thing. Ted doesn't come off great. And I do not love Robin's look this episode. Same. If I had to pick a legendary moment, it would probably be the cold open between Robin yelling, what's in the box? And Marshall reacting to Ted, finding out the window is open. A solid 2 minutes. Bonus legmo to guest star Joanna Garcia, who is the in-real IRL wife of another guest star later this season in The Perfect Week. See you next time, Helena. Is Joanna Garcia the Maggie? I'm guessing so. Yes, hey. Joanna Garcia is Maggie. She was on Are You Afraid of the Dark? Can you believe?
All right,
oh, she's married to Nick Swisher.
Okay, who's that?
Isn't he a baseball player? And she was on Reba. Did you watch Reba?
No.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Helena. Okay, last but not least is David M. And David says, personally, not one of my faves since it's an episode that makes me feel sad since I'm definitely Ted here and I don't like it. Oh. Well, to me, that just means there's someone else out there for you. That whoever the Maggie is... she's part of a different story.
She's not it.
That's right. Legmo to Lily shoving a baby out of the way so Ted can get to the open window. Legmo to Robin saying Barney's challenge doesn't count if he's wearing them over his suit, which I would say is the opposite. That just makes it look worse. Legmo to Barney immediately reneging on his promise to stall Maggie after she compliments his overalls. And Legmo to Ted yelling that he hates Barney Stinson in a random New York street, only to get a random woman agreeing with him. I love that Barney basically made himself public enemy number one. Thank you, David. All right. What's your favorite moment? What's your legendary moment, Liz?
My legendary moment is all of Robin's lines.
Yeah.
You know, like they said, from what's in the box.
Yeah.
To the brown jug with 3 X's on it.
3 X's on it. Yeah, that was mine too.
Yeah.
She
has good accent pieces to this.
She was very silly this episode, yep. And I loved it. My favorite one is, oh, he's not saying hello, he's just telling you what he feeds his horsies. When Barney said hey. Mm-hmm. And she was just so excited to have a way to ruin Barney's night.
Yeah.
Because he's been really throwing it in her face how much he's single now. Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And next time, we're going to be talking about Last Cigarette Ever, which is a great episode.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so Caitlin and I will probably talk about our last cigarettes ever.
Do you remember yours?
No.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
I'm guessing I was drunk when I
had one. Oh, yeah, mine was for sure when I was drunk. In my 20s, for sure.
You'll have to listen to find out more. Send your legendary moments for last cigarette ever to heybeautifulpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, as always, to Rachel's Cookies and Treats for being a delicious sponsor. If you love this recap and you love us, make sure you leave us an Apple Podcast review because they are helping us stay on the charts. And make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so you never miss a recap. We hope you'll come back next episode.
Because it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
This has been Hey Beautiful with your hosts, Kate and Liz. Our intro outro music is by Owl All.